that was very influential on me as a young girl and a woman as I grew. We could see, clearly watch her having dreams and following them and making them happen. And that's really just such a cool thing to watch somebody do, especially somebody so close to you within your life. I think she really showed us what can be possible.
You're listening to the No Labels, No Limits podcast with best-selling author Sarah Box. We focus on the mantra, no labels, no limits, no excuses. And now without further ado, please welcome your commanding coach with plenty of chutzpah and heart, Sarah Box.
Hey there, No Labels, No Limits podcast listeners. Welcome back. I'm Sarah Box, your host of the No Labels, No Limits podcast, where, as you know, we are on a mission to help individuals, teams, organizations, specifically my nonprofit champions, to think outside the box, move beyond limiting beliefs, and stand in front and center of transformation. And we do this by sharing accomplished and inspiring guests who have challenged limiting beliefs and labels in their own lives and have therefore accomplished personal and professional goals. And so today I'm super excited to share with you Anna Harrington. Now, I know Anna. I'm going to give you a little bit of her bio, but before that, I want to tell you a little disclaimer. I know Anna because we're in a mastermind group together, and I have taken away some great nuggets from her on her approach and her thinking just over the last few months. So knowing that about Anna, I'm just even that more excited to have her on the show. She is, her full name is Anna Harrington, and she is a seasoned leader with over 15 years experience in large scale management within the corporate retail space. And her expertise lies in organizational dynamics, team leadership, and employee development. But more than that, or in addition to that, she's also the co-founder with her sister of Harbor Bridge HR consulting firm. And this company is specifically dedicated to supporting growing organizations with human resources and learning and development. So she has a deep understanding of business strategy and cultivating thriving organizational cultures. And when you pair that with her sister's wealth of experience from founding and running design and marketing businesses, that makes Harbor Bridge a powerhouse when it comes to navigating the intricacies. I've been talking too long today. When it comes to navigating the intricacies of business ownership, leadership, and what I think is the heart and soul of a business, a cultivating, thriving organization culture. So without further ado, let's welcome Anna to the podcast. Hi, Anna.
Hi, thank you. It's a nice introduction.
Well, I am truly glad to have you on the podcast. I think about it when we get to sit in our mastermind groups. And, you know, for folks who might not be in a mastermind, I would encourage you to find a mastermind because Anna and I, our paths probably would not have crossed otherwise. And that's not the magic of it. You get business owners and people who are kind of on a shared heart journey, but from different angles. And that's the thing, like when you speak, Anna, I'm going, wow, that's so profound. That's such a great way of thinking about something. So with all of that, I'm going to ask if you would share a bit about the journey that you've gone through to lead you to where you are today and then to how that led to you and your sister starting Harbor Bridge.
Sure. Thank you. So my journey has been quite surprising, frankly, especially to me. I had no idea I was going to end up doing this kind of work. It was never my initial intentions. I started out working in retail, just as a part-time job during college, but that became my passion. And I really became a self-made leader working in the retail space, and all the way up to opening a global flagship on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan and, finishing my retail career, running about $60 million worth of business for Louis Vuitton. But I did that for about 15 years. And during COVID and lockdown, I realized that I had fallen out of love with it. And I knew I needed and wanted to do something different. I just didn't know what different was. And so I took the leap of faith and actually got a real estate license for a little while and thought, you know, at least I can make money doing this and I'll figure it out. And did that for a bit. And then Katie actually approached me. Katie is my now co-founder and also my sister, about a client of hers who needed some more specific, tangible leadership and managerial skills. And she said, you know, why could you just help her out? And so I created some trainings for her and found that I really enjoyed the process. I enjoyed working with Katie, and I saw that this woman that I was working with got a lot out of it as well. So from there, we really just started following the breadcrumbs, and Katie and I explored, and we said, you know, what could this look like? And we did then a cohort program. And it really has built from there. Now that same organization that the woman worked with, we've helped 5 different leaders for them. We've added HR consulting under our belt. It first was just leadership training. And really what I learned through that process and in my own self-reflection with it is to be open to what life gives us and to have that why not mentality and to let things reveal themselves too. I think if I had been too stuck on one perspective of how my life could work, or also too concerned about the risks that would present themselves too of stepping out without having a totally clear plan, which is not my typical MO, I wouldn't be doing what I am today, which is something I'm extremely passionate about and also feel I'm able to make a big impact with.
So let me ask a couple of questions that'll help me, you know, as long as I've been doing the work I'm doing. I still like clarification because I think some words, they get used similarly, but they mean different things depending on the context and who's using them. Yeah. So when you think about leadership or working with a leader, differentiate for me how your clients see that as distinct or similar to your HR services, because I know they can be blended, but sometimes people think of HR in one niche. So let's separate those two.
Sure. I would say leadership and leadership development is one aspect of HR. And that was really the connection that we found because we were partnering so much with HR teams in order to support their programs with leadership training. And we realized that smaller organizations and startups didn't necessarily even have HR teams. And so to be able to come in and support them where they were at and sometimes needing that initial just HR systems in place before even being able to look into or maybe in tandem with the leadership training and development was more functional and more supportive for smaller organizations. But ultimately, I think they're very hand in hand. HR just may be a bit broader and incorporate some more tactical sides of the business, more procedural that sort of thing, along with the more of the soft skills surrounding the leadership mentalities.
So what part of that is the part that like lights you up? That's a pretty good continuum.
Yeah. I'd say there's 2 aspects. I love strategy. So helping a organization think through how to map out a team for not only where they're at today, but also where they want to be. I love being part of that with an organization. And then the other piece would be, I would bucket it under leadership communication. And with that, how the way a leader operates, the way they communicate, how that can then inspire and energize teams, how it can make the work of the teams more meaningful, how it can influence the amount of productivity that's occurring, and the effectiveness of an organization overall.
Do you have, now I'm just asking you questions, I'm making you my free consultant.
Yeah.
I do this sure. with everybody because I'm thinking, yeah, that's so great. But recently I was talking to a client of mine and they are growing. Mm-hmm. They're not a huge organization. They've been pretty intentional about keeping their team 9, 10 right in there, but they are looking at bringing on more team members. They're looking at the structure of that, not sure if they'll be, you know, partners or employees or whatever. Sure. But one of the questions I have for them, as well as for you more specifically, since I can pick your brain, is mm-hmm. you're talking about leader communication. Can you share a little bit about where you see, especially in growth or newer organizations, where you see that being so critical so that people feel safe in their roles and mm-hmm. can carry out whatever the strategy is?
Yeah. I think leadership communication is always super important, but especially is important during times of change and of growth. Ultimately, one of the biggest sources of fear for people is uncertainty, and uncertainty can't be eliminated. Exactly. But the more that we can communicate what we do know, that helps people out. Also, even being transparent around what we don't know and what the process is going to look like as we uncover that, that puts people at ease a bit more. It's also really important to be explicit with expectations of each individual so that ultimately, I do believe that people want to do a good job. It feels good when you know you've accomplished something. And if we're able to be clear around what good looks like and where they need to contribute and why those contributions are important, then people have clarity on what they need to do. And I find that people tend to be more likely to uphold what the expectations are.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. My shortcomings as a leader, as mm-hmm. much as I like to communicate, is repeated communication, right? So that clarity piece is key. But I've also noticed, especially since the pandemic, and I'm going to ask you to test me on this because I may be wrong. I can be certain of my certainty and I can still be wrong, but I have noticed like people are really great about like texting or sending something. And I'm thinking there's something missing, right? With that, because you can't see my body language or the tone in my voice, or you could put something in the tone of my email that never was intended to be there because maybe I was in a hurry and put something out there. So talk about the styles or methods of communicating that help reduce some of the fear that you see your clients having or you've had to deal with in your own evolution.
Yeah. A rule of thumb I found is if I'm introducing something new or if it is something that warrants discussion, collaboration, if it's a bit more complex of a topic, then that should always start off as a conversation. So whether that's a phone call, a Zoom call, an in-person, because there's so much shades of meaning. People want to, you then create a platform for people to express their concerns, to ask clarifying questions, and that all of that gets lost when done through electronic communication, whether it's an email or a text. I think emails are great for summaries, so like a recap of what was communicated over the phone. I think emails are great for agendas, FYIs, status updates. But for conversations and co-creating, trying to influence people, all of that, the message does fall short.
Agreed. And it can also, you can have cross messages. And
absolutely.
Well, people keep responding in threads that are no longer active. I'm going, where did that come from? Right. I'm going, we're done talking about that. I can't find it again. So,
A lot of times I find if I'm having a hard time writing the email, or if I'm really having to think about what I'm going to say in the email, it's probably because the message that I'm trying to convey shouldn't be sent in an email.
That is so good, Anna, because I know for me, well, I'm going, how do I phrase this? I'm thinking, why don't you just pick up the phone?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's just a short call. Pick up the phone. Leave a voicemail if you have to, and then follow up. But I love that. If I have to think too much about what I'm trying to convey, maybe the email is not the way to convey it.
Exactly. So,
hey there, everybody. I want to take just a minute out of this episode of the No Labels, No Limits podcast to tell you that we are officially opening the Sandbox membership in September. So if you're not already on our mailing list, please click the link below to either sign up for the membership or get on the waiting list for the membership. And if you click the link, you'll find more information about what's included, what our plans are, and better yet, you'll be on early enough to help decide what is most important to you to experience in the first 3 to 6 months of the membership. So don't wait. Click the link below and join us in the sandbox where fun happens. We get to do a little R&R, little learning, support one another, and really grow and expand in ourselves, in our lives, and impact the world in a profound way. So come on over, join us.
What are some of the common misconceptions that your clients and customers typically have about HR consulting or the learning and development piece, which you have?
Misconceptions. I think for HR, people can have a bit of a narrow view of what HR is. I think a lot of times we think HR and or my clients think HR and they may be thinking about policies. They might be thinking about payroll, employment contracts, those sort of things. And those are important. But human resources really does so much more than that. We can help with thinking about and assessing what's the current culture within the organization, what's working, what are the levels of the engagement within the team, how can we create greater engagement. We can be thinking about growth strategies, scaling, how to make the organization appealing to candidates. What are the competencies that we're looking for when it comes to a candidate? What are questions to assess for that? So really, a robust HR department is supporting all things people-related within the organization, not just the nuts and bolts of maintaining staff.
So it's much more of a people resources.
Yes. Exactly.
It's not just humans, it's people resources.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know when I was, you know the job description, other duties as assigned. So when I was a corporate partner, we were a small firm, we did a lot of work, but it was like, okay, HR. Okay. I don't like doing HR. HR meant the assumption things you were talking about. And yes, it's not that those functions were functions. They weren't relationship based, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, is payroll working? Are you doing all that stuff, right? They're the mechanics. But exactly. The H, the people part of it, always felt to me a little bit like it got short shrift. So it came up during evaluations, but not necessarily just as part of the day-to-day, mm-hmm. where you weren't having to think about, am I billing for my time? Because who am I going to bill? Mm-hmm. I'm building the organization like guts and foundation, but where does that go? So I do think there's a misconception there, and I'm not sure people always value the importance of people, resources, and support.
Yeah, it's more of that long-range payoff. You might not see it in the instant, but it's so crucial to the health of an organization.
Well, and the cost of turnover and training, all of that, you know, people, I don't have time to train. I'm thinking you don't have time not to cross-train.
Yeah.
You just don't. So let's talk about what it's been like for you to mm-hmm. co-create and co-develop this organization with your sister. Now, is your sister older or younger than you?
My younger sister.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Younger sister. What's the age difference? Like,
we're 3 years apart.
Okay.
We're quite close.
Cool. So have you always gotten along?
I would say outside of the teenage years when, she was quite fond of borrowing my clothes. But other than that, we've gotten along really well.
I would say the same for my younger sister. But my mom said she's hated the teenager. She goes, when one of you was home and the other one walked in, I knew there would be an argument with them. And I'm pretty mellow, right? So mm-hmm. I'm blaming my younger sister. And lately I visited her not long ago, and she goes, you were pretty mellow. And I'm going, I go, well, what was the point, right? But my mom said, oh my God, I could just feel the energy, like with the two of you. I was so glad when you got through that phase. So has it been fun? And like, what were some of the things you had to work through in your roles, like the HR of your own company, some of those considerations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's been excellent, honestly. I think one of the best parts is I trust her wholeheartedly. And I think that is so key in a business partner. And I trust her with the business dealings, but then also we were raised with very similar values. And so the values surrounding who we are as people also translates into our values around the business. So, for instance, one of our values as people and how our parents raised us and now within our business is excellence. And it really puts me at ease knowing that the person that I work with is striving to deliver at that same level.
How do you define excellence?
I would define excellence, I suppose I should have this on the ready, but my heart answer to excellence would be exceptional work above the standards and also always delivering to the best of our abilities.
I ask those questions because it's one of those fuzzy words, right? When someone goes,
sure,
we strive for excellence, something strive. You ever hit it?
Yeah.
but it's hard, right? The bar of excellence, when you two raise your bar of excellence, then you have to go above. You know what I mean? It's like it's a moving target.
I think for me, maybe it's not even just about output. I think that's the byproduct. I think it's more about the effort and the internal bar of always wanting to do the very best we can.
Yeah. So as you describe that, I hear a high level of integrity in how you mm-hmm. show up to be excellent. Yeah. Now, I know that your mom was a huge influence to both of you. Will you share a little bit about her and why she had that level of influence on you?
Yeah. So our mom is women-owned business founder from almost 40 years ago. She started a nonprofit based in Tacoma, and it is a youth choir. And she started it when I was very young. So I've watched it and watched her process of starting it and her passion within it. And that was very influential on me as a young girl and a woman as I grew. And one of the things that really impressed me about her is she started it as a little choir, maybe 20, 30 kids in it. But we could see, clearly watch her having dreams and following them and making them happen. And that's really just such a cool thing to watch somebody do, especially somebody so close to you within your life. I think she really showed us what can be possible.
Yeah, that's powerful, you know, to have a role model and one so close to you, right? So you can see, okay, here's how she shows up as a mom. Here's how she shows up pulling her dreams and with her nonprofit. It really does talk about excellence and showing like what's possible. That's amazing. What has been something that has just surprised you about your own journey and how you are in a different place? You talked earlier about like letting things happen, not being so stuck and they have to be this way. What's a surprising thing that you look at yourself today and go, ooh, that is cool, and I never expected that?
Yeah. I mean, even being here running my own business and getting to help so many different kinds of organizations has been really surprising. I think working in retail and fashion, you can get sort of a pigeonholed view of yourself and around the kinds of clients that will resonate with you. And there can be a bit of a diminishing look on yourself in that it's not always seen as serious business, I guess. And so then to be in a place where seeing that what I can bring makes such an impact on such a variety of businesses. Our main clients work in biotech and our tech startups, which I wouldn't have considered for myself previously, but now I see like my specialty is people. And every business, including scientists, including developers. One of my clients runs a yarn manufacturing company. So they all are built on people. And that's the common denominator.
I'm curious, in the, especially like the biotech and the tech field, are you seeing more women leaders that you're working with?
In biotech, yes. In tech, I have not as much. I'm not sure if that's a global standard or just what I've been exposed to. But definitely in biotech, I've seen a lot of women representation.
Are you feeling hopeful about what you're seeing in the workplace now? Or are there some things that we should all have our like tune into and pay more attention to? And I'm thinking about like, how are people feeling about work? You know, you see these surveys about people's contentment with work, workplace. And I'm not always sure, for me at least, they jive with what my clients are telling me. You know, sometimes they're just not in line with that. So I'm curious what you're seeing in your field of business, startups, tech.
Yeah, I think it really varies. I think it really varies around organizational culture and the executive leadership team too, and where their priorities lie and the mindsets. I've seen real phenomenal organizations and a lot of exciting shifts within inclusive cultures. And when I say inclusive, not just like, not just from a diversity perspective, but also inclusive in incorporating all people into the creation of the culture and the organization. And then I still see a lot of what I would say like our outdated mentalities too. And that lead to apathetic workforce.
So give me a couple of concrete examples, because I'm imagining there's going to be someone listening here and thinking, okay, for one that's heading in a positive direction, here might be two or three things that you would look for, Anna, when you go to work with someone who's just new to you and you're kind of taking a lay of the land. Here's some things that might say, okay, here's some positive things. And and then here would be like three or four red flags that you're saying, here's some possibly concerning things I would see.
One is, because we always do a assessment of a new organization that we're working with, and we will talk with different people at different levels and positions within the organization. And one thing that I always see as a real positive is when people in all different positions have real clarity on what is the current vision for the organization. And they feel that, and they have clarity on how their role impacts that. And they feel like what they're doing at whatever, in whatever aspect, is contributing to the success of the mission. And so that always feels really positive. I would also say organizations where people feel like they're safe to express themselves and safe to express positive, but also constructive red flags and concerns, and that they can be part of that conversation. I think that's very healthy, because one, if people are able to express the concerns, those concerns may be valid, and it allows the organization to course correct. Or two, it at least gives them voice, and we can help put that person then more at ease and help them understand why they don't need to be as concerned as they may be feeling. But when people just hold it in or back channel it, that can be pretty destructive.
Those back channels, or what I call them, the parking lot conversation.
Yes.
Why didn't we just have that in the meeting?
Exactly. Exactly.
And then what are some of the things you might see when you do your assessment that you're saying, okay, this rises to the top as a concern, even if no one understood it was a concern before we did the assessment?
I would say misalignment always makes me concerned when somebody either doesn't know where the ship is headed and they're paddling off in another direction, or they still lack buy-in into it. Maybe hearing this is what we're doing, but, and that is, that's concerning, because then we don't have as much cohesion around where everybody's going within the organization. I would say gossiping is always a concern. And I would also say when people are more fixated on, and granted, income and benefits are an extremely important part of the job, but if the main thing I'm hearing is around salaries and that sort of thing and not as much about the work, then I get concerned about how connected they are to the priorities.
Yeah. So those are all important things for folks listening to kind of just keep in the back of your mind. because they tell a different story sometimes. And when you have someone like Anna and her sister who can go, I'm hearing these things, and here's from our experience, here are some of the fallout, good or bad, from that. And then they can guide you and help you plan where. So if this isn't where you want your organization to be, let's think about where you want it to be and how to move for that. Am I kind of encapsulating what you guys are doing?
Absolutely.
And of course, you have your whole learning and development piece, which is an adjunct to that.
Exactly.
So what's coming up? We're all through the first quarter of 2024. Oh, my gosh. I don't want to say where did it go, but where did it go?
Yeah.
So what's on tap for this year that you and your sister are super excited about with your business?
So we just launched our Leadership Foundations course. And so this is a 8-week, once a week, one-on-one program. And it goes through core leadership skill sets. And I'm excited about that because I think it's a great way to do onboardings for organizations who are growing and promoting people new to leadership and getting them going on the right foot. So often new leaders are learning more through trial and error versus being just getting grounded out the gates with core foundational skills. So I'm very excited about that. And we're also incorporating a new trainer into our program. So they will be joining us in the upcoming month to help us service a greater scope of people.
That is exciting because that is you're growing yourself. You're getting to apply everything you know to your own growth.
Exactly.
Is this a family member that you're bringing in?
No, it's actually not. We're out of family members.
But you know, you could be recruiting your mom. You know?
Yeah, true. But values were key in our interview process. And that would be another thing I would encourage your listeners when you're thinking about hiring. I think so often we think about the skill sets of an individual and don't often interview and test for the values. And that creates can create long-term friction and misfits. So.
Well, yeah, because you can train someone on a skill. I've gotten better on skills I never thought I would have.
Exactly.
If you don't bring the right person to the place, it'll be hard to train them.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, Anne, I'm going to give you the last word on the podcast.
Okay.
So what are one or two things you want to make sure our listeners know that you might have wished you knew earlier in your career, just to encourage them?
Sure. I would encourage people to experiment more, to explore more, to not need to know all the hows. But rather know where they're trying to go and know that they can pull in partners along the way and resources along the way to support that path, but to not let that lack of clarity be so fearful, create so much fear that you don't begin the journey.
Yep. Boy, that's powerful. And listeners know that's something that's kind of near and dear to my heart, because if you don't start, you don't know what you need, right? You're just in the thing,
exactly,
imagining all this stuff, and the possibility is you don't need it. You might have everything and you won't know until you start. So I think that is a great lesson or inspirational learning from you to us, and I want to really thank you for your time on the podcast. I'm sorry that Katie couldn't make it, but we'll catch her on another time, and I look forward to seeing you soon back in our mastermind.
Thank you. Very much appreciate it.
You've been listening to the No Labels, No Limits podcast with best-selling author, change agent, and strategic business coach, Sarah Box. You can grab the show notes and find out how to work with Sarah at sarahbox.com/No Labels, No Limits podcast. We'd love this podcast to reach as many people as possible. please remember to rate, leave a 5-star review, and share the podcast with someone you think would get value from this conversation. Till next time, keep taking those daily action steps to align your purpose to your principles and achieve your goals in business and life.